Welcome to Lyme and Beyond with Tanya, where we talk all about Lyme and beyond, because as most of us know, Lyme rarely travels alone. I created this podcast to offer you hope and to remind you that healing is possible, because I healed from my personal 13-year journey, although it was exhausting, physically, emotionally, and financially. It truly was a blessing as it reshaped my mind, body, and soul. In this space, we share raw and real conversations with those who have made it to the other side of this journey, along with breaking down different topics and approaches with practitioners. My goal is to make you feel less alone, more empowered, and confident in being your own advocate. So thank you so much for tuning in today. And if you're looking for more tips and resources, I share everything I learned along my journey on my Lyme and Beyond with Tanya Facebook page. So now let's get to today's guest. I've got with me Evan Hirsch, who's actually an MD, but he's a health coach and he specializes in functional and environmental medicine. And of course, he also has a personal journey with Lyme disease. So we're going to dive into a little bit of his story, talk about the Energy MD method, which is a four-step process to addressing the toxic five. What is the toxic five? Well, we're going to find out today, listeners. So, Evan, thank you so much for joining me. Welcome to the show.
Tanya, thanks so much for having me on.
Absolutely. So let's just take a little bit of time, if you don't mind. And, oftentimes what we do today, especially when it comes to practitioners, is because of their own personal journey that they had to go through, right?
Right.
So can you just share a little bit of your personal journey with us?
Sure. So I had chronic fatigue syndrome from 2010 to 2015. And I didn't know that I was having it. I had graduated from residency in 2007 in family medicine. And I had done my first training in functional medicine at that time and opened up my own practice in functional medicine and family practice. And I just never recovered from, or what I thought was just from the residency hangover, so to speak. But my
That's a good
energy,
name for
right? But
it,
my energy just kept getting worse. And at that point, I was married, I had a young child, and everything seemed to be falling down around me, where my practice was, I couldn't do everything I needed to do in my practice. I had to keep hiring people in order to see the patients that I couldn't see. I would go home, and my wife, who actually had her own chronic fatigue journey a couple years prior to me, she was, would ask me to do the dishes, and I couldn't do the dishes. My daughter would ask me to play with her, and I couldn't. I just had to lie on the couch. And I was napping underneath my desk in the clinic, and I had locked my door because I had so much shame around, the fact that I couldn't get myself better. Here I was practicing functional medicine. I could help a lot of people who came in my door, but I couldn't help myself. I was gluten-free, dairy-free, mostly sugar-free. My wife was a meditator. We felt like we were doing everything right, eating organic food. I was replacing all the deficiencies I knew to do from functional medicine, vitamins and minerals and lifestyle habits, like going to bed at 10 o'clock at night, like doing all the things. And I was still napping underneath my desk every single day. And so finally, what felt like the millionth day in a row where I was napping underneath my desk, I was like, this is ridiculous. I know how to fix this. I just have to find out all the causes. And so I went on a journey of self-discovery, and that really brought me to what I call the toxic five now, finding all the environmental causes, the heavy metals, the chemicals, the molds, the infections, and the nervous system dysfunction. And I had to go through my own process of removing each of those out of my body, and that included Lyme and Bartonella and Babesia and parasites. So I'm definitely that, that made me very well versed in this. I wrote a book about it, and that became my mission to help people resolve their chronic fatigue syndrome and all the toxic five. And then we were uniquely positioned to help people with long COVID when that occurred. And we started figuring that out in the latter part of 2020, because long COVID is just chronic fatigue syndrome with a new trigger. So that became my mission.
Wow. It isn't it crazy? Like being a doctor, being a in practice for yourself, you can help all these people, but we can't always help ourselves. Or maybe we're the worst, we're our own worst patient, right? And that happens a lot as well, right? So that had to have been just super frustrating for you, and not knowing, you just listed off several things that you were doing everything right. And a lot of times, those of us that deal with Lyme disease, we could have a super healthy lifestyle, like you had just mentioned, and we go to the doctors and they're telling us, that nothing is wrong with us. And we kind of think that there shouldn't be with all the good things that we do. But little did we know we got infected by a little tick, right? Or whatever it may have been that caused the specific bacteria in us. But it is beyond frustrating to feel like we're just spinning in circles doing all the things that we're supposed to do. And I truly believe that our bodies are designed to heal themselves, right? Given the right tools and the right foundations. Like that is how God created us. We're amazing beings. And oftentimes it could be the simplest thing of why our body is off, why our body is not responding to the good things that we're doing with it. And I know that, our nervous system is one of my favorite things to talk about because I don't think it gets enough credit, but yet it can be such an easy tool to work with. So I know we're going to dive into that a little bit later. So let's see, where do I even want to start? Let's just go ahead and start with the 4-step process to the toxic five. You kind of mentioned it, but if you could just break it down for us, maybe the listeners want to grab a, pen and a piece of paper and maybe jot some notes down because I think that there are several pieces to the healing journey. And if we miss one of them, it can inhibit our healing process, right? And yours may be different than what mine are because I'm not a practitioner, but I'm super interested in hearing yours.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. We're looking at over 30 different causes, and everybody who walks through my door has over 20 of them. So it's never just one thing, right? You don't get sick overnight, and it's never just heavy metals or chemicals or lime, right? It's always there's other things that are at play. So the first step is
Hence the
to
lime and beyond, right?
perfect. So the first step is to identify all the causes that an individual has. Like I said, there's over 30 different, and everybody's got at least 20. Now, what's really interesting about this is that the longer that I do this work, I've been doing it for about a decade, specifically with chronic fatigue. The longer that I do this work, the less I test. Because I've been burned so many times over the years that I finally was like, you know what? I'm just going to treat all the toxic five. Because when people show up and they don't have heavy metals, or they don't have chemicals, or they don't have molds, or they don't have infections, and we miss something, like you said, then they just can't get to the finish line. And I found myself at 12 months, at 18 months, working with somebody being like, okay, what are we missing? Let's go ahead and treat this thing anyway, even though the labs say that it's not there. And then lo and behold, they get better, right? So I found.
And speaking of labs, right? Like we know that, yeah, it's our blood, but I think sometimes if we think about it, if we really kind of analyze it, when we go to get blood work done, they're taking just a little bit of our blood, right? Just a couple of little vials. And maybe you're not picking up on something that is in that little vial of blood, right? Because there are certainly certain pathogens I know that will not infect every drop or every ounce of your blood. So that's one problem with lab tests. And then, of course, we know the other problem is that they just don't pick up on Lyme in general. So that's a whole nother story, right? But yeah, and so I think I like that approach that let's just treat it. Can it hurt us if we're treating something that we don't have? I don't know. I don't necessarily think so unless you're using antibiotics, which, I'm not a fan of, but
Well, and the reality is that we all have the toxic five. The question is to what degree? There's studies to show that over the babies come out of the womb now with over 300 different chemicals, right? So we're already coming out behind the eight ball. And then everybody's eating non-organic food, and you get all this stuff from mom through the placenta, and then you just accumulate these toxins and throughout your lives. And then when your immune system is dysfunctional because of the toxins, the infections become opportunistic. Or you get bitten by a tick, or you kiss this person, or you're intimate with this person, or you get bit by a mosquito, or whatever it is, right? So, and to touch on the lab thing, a lot of these urine tests that we're looking at to determine whether or not somebody has heavy metals, chemicals, or molds, and even some of these infections are directly related to an individual's ability to detoxify. So if you cannot detoxify, like everybody that I work with when they first come to see me, it's not going to show up in the urine. It's a test more of your ability to excrete. It's not really a test of your total body burden. So
right.
consequently, it doesn't show up, and then you don't get treated for it, and then guess what? You're not going to get better. or not get all the way better. Maybe you'll get somewhat better, but then you plateau. So that's the challenge with the urine test. And then in terms of the blood test, the other thing is that, when you're looking at a serology test or the immune system's reaction to an infection, like with the Western blot test or the ELISA test, you're counting on the immune system to be functional. Well, when people have Lyme or chronic fatigue syndrome or long COVID, it's incredibly dysfunctional. So then you're asking a dysfunctional immune system to be able to detect something, to give you an accurate read on something. It just doesn't work.
No, it absolutely doesn't. And I agree to what you just said a second ago, Evan, is that we all have all sorts of things going on in our body, right? Like we have parasites, maybe we have mold, heavy metals, because our environment is toxic. I mean, it just is. It doesn't matter how well you try to do things, like we are toxic human beings. But it is based upon our immune system, right? How well is it functioning? Because most of us are not affected by these things that we have going on in our body until something happens. And I believe it's something either traumatic, whether it's physical or emotional, right, is when it suppresses our immune system. And then all these things that we may have had our whole entire life all of a sudden decide to come out of hiding because we gave them the opportunity.
Yeah, you're speaking my language. I say it's the straw that broke the camel's back. It's any sort of stressor, mental, emotional, physical, spiritual, energetic. And they just all build up over time, and then there's a straw that breaks the camel's back, and then all of a sudden you get symptoms. So I absolutely agree.
Yeah. All right. So what are the toxic five? What is the actual breakdown of
Well,
them?
let's jump into step two. So we talked about like
Oh,
step
step two.
one.
Okay. Okay, there
Yeah,
you go.
no worries,
Sorry.
no worries.
It's
So
your program. I need to keep up.
step one is identifying the causes.
Okay.
And like I said, we just go ahead and we're gonna treat them. The toxic five, especially because it's just going to save people time, energy, and money. So in order, and but spoiler alert, this to, we address the toxic five in step four, but we have to prepare the body appropriately. So in step two, we replace the deficiencies. Right?
Love that. Prepare the body, right? Just don't
Wait.
go in and attack it. Like, how do you expect it to respond that way?
Exactly.
And sorry, I interrupted you again. I do that a lot because I have a lot to say sometimes.
It's
But,
all good. We're diving. You're speaking
many
in my
of
language,
us
yeah.
go through years of trying to get a diagnosis, right? So we finally get a diagnosis of Lyme disease and we just want to kill it. That's the only thing that logically makes sense in our head is that we want to kill this infection. And so we just throw everything at it. Your body has been through some turmoil, right? If you've allowed this pathogen to take over, you've got to support your body before you go in and just kill it, or you're going to take a million steps backwards. And I say it all the time that you've got to prepare your body. There's so many things that, I mean, I have the levels in my head, but they all have to be addressed, and killing the pathogen is just one layer of it. There's so many other things that we have to do, and I wish everybody could understand
Well, that's why you're doing this podcast.
that. That's right.
So in step two, we're replacing the deficiencies, the adrenals, the mitochondria, the thyroid, the sex hormones, the vitamins, the minerals, the lifestyle habits. So, getting enough water, eating the right food, getting enough sleep, getting enough movement if you can move. And then working on the mindset. So those are the things that I cause the deficiency, that I call the deficiencies. They're going to make you more resilient. They're going to make the rest of the process easier. Oftentimes there's an uptick in energy and focus and mood by a little bit. But that has to happen first, because when you get into step four and you start removing the toxins, the infections, et cetera, it is stressful on the body. So you have to make sure that stress can be managed so that you can move through that as smoothly as possible. So that's step two.
All right. And so on step two, can we elaborate a little bit on, you said one of my favorite words, mindset. Can you
Mindset.
just tell the listeners how powerful our mind is and just explain to them why it's so important? And yes, we understand it's hard to have a positive mindset when we feel like we're dying, when we're maybe in bed, when we've lost everything, right? I get it. We've been there, right? We know that it's not something that's easy, but how powerful is our mindset?
So I can tell you what the research says, but I can also tell you that I've seen people get over chronic fatigue syndrome, Lyme disease, long COVID, etc., just by working on their nervous system, by doing mindset work, by doing breath work, by doing polyvagal work. It's incredibly important, and it's a low barrier to entry. Like you can go online and you can Google or you can ask AI, tell me what things I need to do for my nervous system. Give me a nervous system retraining protocol, and it will create something for you that can be incredibly effective. Now, the thing is that you're not going to notice anything day one, and you may not notice anything day 90. Sometimes it takes 3, 6 months. Oftentimes I tell people who come to our program, if I don't feel like they're necessarily ready for whatever reason, or if they've got mast cell activation and they can't tolerate the supplements we're going to give them, or they're especially sensitive, I'm going to say, go off and do a limbic system or a nervous system retraining program for 3 to 6 months. And at that point, you're going to be able to tolerate a lot more. Your nervous system's going to be a lot more relaxed. And then if you still need my help at that time, then come back. And about a year ago, we incorporated a nervous system retraining program into our program because I saw how important it was. I'm curating all the things that I see work, and I bring them in. And I only bring in the things that I've seen are really exceptional. So it's an incredibly important part of this process. I tell people it could be 90% of your issue, and I do not accept anybody into the program who's not willing to do the work.
Love that because yeah, we have to put in the work for sure. And it is so crazy how our nervous system can control so much, right? And we get it when it doesn't make sense. Okay, so you want me to breathe and you want me to go ground and you want me to do a cold shower. You want me to do these things and you think I'm going to get well. Like you said, a lot of times we don't notice that. We do truly live in a world of instant gratification,
Right.
right? And we all expect that, especially we want it during this journey. And that's just not the way it's going to happen. It can be so gradual that you don't even know it. And then just the next thing you know, wow, why am I not reacting to so many things? Why am I
Right.
not having these issues? Oh, maybe it is working, right?
Right. Yeah, and success is definitely not linear. Generally you're just going to have more good days per month. Your first month, you have no good days. And then the second month, you have one good day. And then the third month, so on. But the bad days are just as bad. And so you forget that you've had that good day. So you have to document, you have to remind yourself, you have to live in gratitude. Should I go into my 4-step mindset practice?
Yes.
Okay. So, and then we can kind of come back to the 4-step process, the other 4-step process. So with our mindset practice, the first step is gratitudes. Really significant, 3 gratitudes a day. I tell people if you are so tired that you're bedridden, you can't get out of bed, just do a thank you practice or what I call a thank you therapy. So you basically just say thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you until you really feel it in your body. For some people, they like to do Ho'oponopono, which is a Hawaiian thank you, I'm sorry, I love you. All of those really positive words. There's research on changing the structure of water with positive words. And we're 80% water. If you want to change your body, you can change the structure of the water inside of your body. So that's the first thing is going to be gratitude practice. The second thing is envisioning your ideal day, your ideal health, your ideal life. Okay, the body and the brain does not know the difference between imagination and reality, right? This is the reason why you watch a horror film and your heart is jumping out of your chest, right? And so you can use the same thing. There's been research to show they did it with basketball, they did it with piano, they did it with other things, where one group actually plays the piano and practices, the other group does it in their mind, and they're just as good except for the muscle memory. So
Right.
very important practices that you do. Your brain, the universe will, I mean, I'm going to get kind of spiritual here, but the universe will conspire to create what you see in your mind. So
You're
very
man
important.
manifesting, right?
Exactly. So, who are you sleeping next to? What does your relationship look like? What's your relationship to your pets, your kids? What does your house look like? What does your job look like? What are your relationships at work? Go throughout your day. Really important process. So gratitudes, envisioning, and then looking at any sort of limiting beliefs that you're having, and this comes from mindfulness, and flipping them into empowering beliefs or affirmations. Some of my favorite ones are, I'm loved, I'm safe, I'm enough.
Love it.
And then the last one is asking yourself empowering questions. The brain is a goal-achieving machine. If you ask yourself disempowering questions like, why is this always happening to me? Or why do I feel like crap? You're unfortunately going to get an answer that you're not going to like. That's not really going to serve you. But a better question would be, how can I love myself more today? How can I love my partner more today? How can I take the next step in my journey? What is the next step in my journey? You know?
I like that.
So my wife calls it, my wife's a trauma-informed mindfulness coach, Stacey Hirsch, and she says that these are more, you know, how and what questions instead of why questions.
Love
That's what they were
that.
kind of moving towards. And so that's the top-down approach, which is basically changing your mindset to change your nervous system. And then the bottom-up approach is going to be the body work. So it's breath work, it's gargling, it's humming, it's doing the cold showers. You know, which I still do to this day. It just really wakes me up in the morning.
You're much braver than me. I can do it sometimes, but it's not, it's definitely not my favorite
Well, I
thing.
take a hot shower and then at the end I turn it to cold and I have it run on my head, run on my front, run on my back, run on my head again. And I do that for about, you know, 30 seconds total. You know?
And that's about what I do, but I think by the time it gets really cold, I'm done. So it's cooler, but I'm not really sure it really accounts for being cold. It you have to be kind of tough to do that, right?
It'll definitely help. But you know, now I don't want to even get out of the shower
Until you do it.
until I do it. It's just, you know, so much of a habit, and that's so much of all these things is that they feel insurmountable initially, but you know, we can create these habits, and these habits can really change our lives.
100%.
So coming back, so we talked about step two, we talked about mindset.
Yes.
So then
Sorry, and I made you go all over the board with that. I
it's all
just
right.
I don't not many of my guests really want to dive into the mindset and the nervous system, and it truly is can be the missing piece to this whole journey. So I just got really excited that it's part of your practice.
Absolutely. No, I can't stop talking about it. It's really important. So then in step three, it is opening up the exit pathways or the drainage pathways or the detox pathways, the liver, the kidney, the lymph, the neurolymph, the gallbladder, the intestines. All of these pathways need to be opened up so that you can expel what's going to come out in step four. And this is also how we mitigate the Herxheimer reaction or the die-off reaction that is notorious for people who have Lyme and these chronic infections. Whenever you try, for those who aren't familiar, whenever you try to pull things out of the body or kill things, it's hard on the body, first off. So these things are very much ensconced in our tissues and our organs. And when you try to pull them out, they have to have an exit pathway. They have to have a way out. Otherwise, you're just going to feel worse. They're just going to get recirculated. And so that's why we have step three in place. And even when you do this process and you open up the pathways in step three, you're still going to do what I call the die-off dance, which is once you get into step four and you're removing the heavy metals and the chemicals and the molds and the infections, you still are going to need to pivot back to step three and increase your die-off support because there's going to be some of those causes that are more ensconced or you're going to have more die-off from certain causes. And that you're going to have to, you know, stop. We use tinctures so that we can increase by a drop at a time. So when you have die-off, it's not like you're taking, you know, an antibiotic or a one-size-fits-all approach or an IV or something like that that totally destroys you and puts you into bed. We're talking about, oh, you know, I feel worse. And I just increased a drop of something. And that's die-off. Okay, I'm not going to advance. I'm going to keep at that dose, but I'm going to increase some of my step three support so that I can feel better. And then it's like, oh, okay, now I can continue to ramp up.
Yes, and I love that you brought up that piece about tinctures, and because I prefer those as well because they're so much easier to dose.
Right.
And you wouldn't think that just an additional one drop of something can have an effect, and it certainly can.
It sure can.
So when it comes to Herx, in your personal opinion, do you believe that we have this Herx reaction from killing too fast, too hard, or because our detox pathways aren't open, or maybe a combo of both?
Yes, it's a combo of both. Yeah.
Okay.
Because if your detox pathways were completely open, you could kill things as fast as you wanted to. But the reality is that the more of the toxic five that you have, the more of the toxins and infections that have built up in your body over the time, the more clogged your detox pathways are.
Right. Makes sense. Yeah.
Yeah, and so it's definitely this negotiation that has to happen as you're moving through the process. And it's always remarkable how you can increase drops of something that's addressing a particular cause, let's say, a virus. And then you go into Lyme or Bartonella, and then all of a sudden, one drop, and you're just having a big old Herxheimer reaction because you've got a whole bunch of Bartonella in your body, because you've got muscle cramps, pain in the bottom of your feet, previously diagnosed with fibromyalgia, hard time sleeping, stretch marks, like all of a sudden you have really bad die-off when you're treating something that is a really significant cause for you.
Right. Makes sense. Yeah. Okay.
So those are the four steps.
And you make them sound so easy, right? I think like truly so much of this journey is about proper order, right? And then also addressing all of the layers, because I think if we get them all mixed up and I just think that it really puts a damper on our healing. Like it can take, a whole lot longer. And like you said, earlier in the show, Evan, we didn't get sick overnight, right? We're not going to get well overnight as well. But I think that the importance of kind of the order of things and how we're supporting our body in every aspect along this can only help the healing process.
Absolutely. And I think a couple of other important things to note are that, once you get into step four and you're removing the heavy metals and the chemicals and the molds and the infections, and you continue to work on your nervous system, there's something called that I call the toxic matrix, which is basically this idea that they're all bound up together. And when you start to remove mercury or lead, oftentimes they're bound up to infections. And so you're going to be releasing those infections as well. So while you may not have a particular symptom for a particular infection when you start off, as you go through these layers, people generally report that they're experiencing like a reverse chronology of their symptoms, where they're like, you know what? I'm experiencing a symptom that I haven't experienced in 5 years or 10 years or 20 years. You're kind of like moving backward in time as you're getting at some of these older infections that have been in your body for a long time, as you're starting to pull them apart from their attachment to the heavy metals and chemicals.
Right. And that could be happening. I mean, you could have these infections in your body and again, not even have symptoms from a particular one, right?
Right.
But
I mean, we all do. I mean, we're 90% bug cells in this human form. We're 90% bug cells, 10% human cells. Like, we have this relationship with the microbiome, and it's just when it gets dysfunctional and when we have these insults. You can't get rid of infections. You can't get rid of Lyme, in my experience, if you have heavy metals and chemicals and molds in significant quantities that have hijacked your immune system. You need a somewhat functional immune system to go after Lyme or whatever other kind of infections you have. And so this is one of those reasons why sometimes when people have Lyme and they're just going directly at Lyme, that they're not successful, is because there's these other causes that are standing in the way.
yeah, I completely agree. Completely agree. So I know that you specialize as well in long COVID. Can we talk a little bit about what you think the correlation is, or the relationship to possibly long COVID or Lyme disease? I know, when we went through this whole COVID thing, that a lot of people, at least in the communities that I'm in, they discovered it was actually Lyme disease, right? Like a traumatic event or, a traumatic virus that you get initially kind of breaks down your body. What are your thoughts on that?
I think it's yes and. So, what happens with COVID, for those who aren't familiar, like what long COVID is so if you get COVID, like 90% of the people have at this point on the planet, about 30 to 40% of everybody who's gotten COVID will end up with persistent symptoms of COVID. So you may have gotten a viral illness back in 2020, and then you had certain symptoms like maybe loss in smell and taste, or fatigue, or brain fog, or body pain, or whatever, that ended up persisting. Or maybe you got a viral illness, and then your symptoms went away, and then 6 months later, all of a sudden, you got some weird symptoms. COVID can cause over 250 different symptoms. It depends on where in the body the COVID virus or the spike protein takes hold. And so wherever it is in the body, it will cause inflammation, and inflammation causes symptoms. Okay? The other thing about COVID is that it acts as a biofilm disruptor. And so it can break up hiding places of infections. And so sometimes it's been very interesting to see, people get COVID, and then all of a sudden, for example, let's call her Emily, ends up having symptoms of shortness of breath, really bad depression to the point of suicidal thoughts, really bad anxiety to the point of panic attacks. And this oftentimes in the Lyme world, we would call that Babesia. But for some people, we treat Babesia and it goes away. And for other people, we treat COVID and it goes away. So it's like COVID can act like Babesia, or COVID can break up the hiding place of a Babesia, and then the Babesia comes out, and then you treat the Babesia.
Okay, so a little bit of both. So what you're saying is you think that long COVID can truly just be long COVID, right? It has all these things going on in our body, but it also could be busting up some of these biofilms, bringing out these other bacterias.
I do think that, but I'm also hedging my bet. I mean, we address all viruses, 95% of all viruses known. We address Lyme and all the Lyme co-infections. We address parasites. I mean, COVID and the spike protein is unlike anything we've ever seen before. It does not operate like a normal virus. You know?
Yeah, not
I
that's not
mean,
surprising, right?
it operates very much like a parasite, like a spirochete. Like, we don't even know what it is, And so it's like, is it like, so I don't know for sure, but I'm hedging my bets by addressing all these things. But oftentimes, like if we give somebody, what's known to be an antiviral, and when we're doing herbal therapies, which we're doing 100% of the time, it's going to be doing double and triple duty. And it's going to be getting at a number of different effects. So if I give somebody Skullcap, it's going to be antiviral, it's going to be antiparasitic, it's going to be antifungal, antibacterial, and then it's also going to protect the liver. So it's like, so which one is it actually doing? I don't really care. I just want to make sure that I'm covering all the bases
Right.
so that, when people are done with my program, they're done with their symptoms,
Love that. Yeah. So who knows? And yeah, COVID is a whole world of itself, right?
Right.
Wow. So what when you are, let's kind of focus a little bit on actual Lyme, right? So when you are working with Lyme patients, what are the I feel like you have the breakdown, right? Like you have the stages, you have the layers of healing that you need to go through. What are some of the challenges, maybe, and maybe not even necessarily for you as a practitioner or a coach, but that you are seeing out there that maybe could be the reason why they're not getting well? Like what are, because I'm assuming that, and I think with any practitioner that I've had on my show, oftentimes by the time the patient comes to them, they've seen everybody, right? They've been through everything, and it's kind of like, I don't want to call it's your last resort, right? But it's like they've been down the rabbit hole of, mostly Western medicine, traditional allopathic medicine, right? They're not getting the answers. They've done to all the specialists, and then they end up in your office. What are some of the challenges that you see in that?
So generally, I mean, you're asking like why these people who have Lyme, why can they sometimes not get better?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And
And
so have they.
then also even on the flip side, like what do you see a lot in the community? Like some of the pieces maybe that are being missed when they come to you. If you can even kind of capture that, right? Like because
Yeah.
there's a lot of people, so maybe there's not a majority of one or the other.
Absolutely. So a lot of times it's a really narrow focus. There are people who specialize in Lyme, and they are generally missing out, or a lot of them are missing out on the rest of the toxic four, or the rest of the toxic five, I should say. And so, If you're just focused on one thing and you have 20 different causes, you're kind of like missing the forest for the trees sort of thing, right? And you're going to miss something and you're not going to be able to get all the way better. So that's one thing. And you're counting on an intact immune system in order to be able to get rid of the infections. And so if you're not focused on, okay, how do I relieve the stress on the immune system, whether it's mental, emotional, or physical, like the heavy metals, the chemicals, the molds, other infections, and the nervous system dysfunction, right? I find that people just have a really hard time getting to the finish line.
Yeah.
So that's another thing. I am also seeing that, when people have die-off, they have a very hard time navigating die-off. So oftentimes, if you're getting IV antibiotics, prescription antibiotics, I mean, that's the other thing too, is that oftentimes the course is not long enough of some of these things. You go to your doctor and they're like, oh, okay, yeah, let me give you doxycycline for 30 days. Like, that's not going to do it, So it's really important to make sure that you're using a treatment that works, that you're addressing all of the causes that you have. Like I said, with the toxic matrix, you may have gotten the surface layer of Lyme and its co-infections. And when I say Lyme, I'm also talking about its co-infections, right? It's never
Correct.
just big mama bee, big the
You're
big borrelia, right?
right.
So if you're getting rid of everything that's outside of the biofilm, you also have to make sure that you're getting what's underneath, and that you're addressing all those different causes. So that's and I kind of digressed a little bit, but in terms of the die-off, there's really bad die-off that puts people back, and then they never want to try to attack Lyme again. And then there are people who can't identify or have a hard time identifying what the die-off is. And this is kind of like the beauty and the curse of the tinctures, is that we're ramping up by a drop at a time. And sometimes, and when you don't feel good, it's like you don't feel good, you don't feel good, you don't feel good. And then all of a sudden you realize that you're feeling a lot worse than you had, and that maybe five drops ago you started having die-off. Right?
Right. Yeah,
So
there that and that's important to say because a lot of us already feel like total crap, right? Like
exactly.
there's nothing in us that feels good. And so we oftentimes think, can we even feel worse? And so I truly think that this is where journaling can be a game changer for us. Truly tracking. I get it that it's hard. Like I know for me, I would just get a piece of paper and I would write down some of the worst things that I had, whether it was my anxiety or my sleep or my pain. And I would have somebody take it down and make 100 copies of it. So every day I could just write, Monday on it. And then I could just put a check mark or like a 1 through 10. My brain didn't work really well, right? Like
Right.
at one point I didn't know my name. I had to have a post-it note on the bathroom mirror to tell myself to brush my teeth. Like, I didn't even know that that was a thing. So, I get that our brain doesn't work, but you can truly find a way to track things along your journey. And it really is, you can't tell a patient how they're feeling, right? And what's getting worse and what's getting better. We need to do our part when we're working with our practitioner and be able to tell you guys how we're feeling, if we're feeling worse or not. And if you are journaling and tracking just a handful of things on a daily basis, then you would know 5
Right.
drops ago you should have halted it right there for a little bit, right? So just the power of journaling.
Absolutely. Yeah, it really is a partnership. Like I tell people, I'm not at home with you. I don't know what's going on. You have to communicate with me. We've got certain things set up in our program to make sure that people don't fall through the cracks. We're texting people every single month and saying, how's it going? I mean, and then also I'm very accessible. We provide a guaranteed response to any question that people have in 2 business days. So it's really important for me to help people pivot. When people join our program, they're probably going to pivot about 50 times over the next 12 months. And so it's much better to pivot every other day than it is to wait a month or two to see your provider. And then they're like, oh, actually, like 6 weeks ago, you probably should have done this. And they're never going to tell you that. But that's
Right.
the reality, is that when you increase by a drop and you have die-off and you don't know what to do, and you reach out to us and we tell you, and you pivot and then you move forward, you've just compressed time. You've just taken what's going to take you years into taking you months.
100%, 100%. And that's really important that people have access to you in your program, right? Because,
Right.
and this is why I think a lot of times people want to have like a coach along the way working with their practitioner, because you can't just pick up the phone or text your practitioner anytime you want, right? Like most of the time, that's not the way it works.
Right.
But having a health coach in between to work you through these things can be really beneficial. So that you can pivot, you can adjust things, right? Because you guys, unless we communicate with you guys how we're feeling and we truly know because we're tracking, you don't know, because none of us react the same way. We just don't. There's probably, certain amount of people react this way. There's probably like maybe 10 ways people react, but somebody's in that category. There's just too many different ways, and based on our reactions from our body can tell you a whole lot. So we need to be able to communicate that with you.
Absolutely. And that's why the journaling is so important. And I'm always asking people, okay, tell me what the chronology was. Okay, you increased by a drop, and then what symptoms got worse? Did symptoms get worse? Did they get better? What does it look like? So that's yeah. And then that having the accessibility and having the accountability, we have that access. Three times a week I answer questions, so guaranteed response in 2 business days. And then 3 times a month, so almost every single week, they can have face-to-face time with me on group calls. We offer one-on-one calls every single month, so or every other month rather. Well, it's almost every other month. Sorry, it's almost every month. It's like 8 visits in 12 months or something like that. But all of those are ways where you can have that touchstone and you can make sure that you're on the right track, get your questions answered, and make sure that you're pivoting. Life, so much of life is all about pivoting. You learn something and then you make a choice, right? And so whether it's in your business, at your job, parenting with your kid, you try something, yeah, it didn't work out so well. Next time I'm going to do something else, right? I'm a much better parent right now for my 17-year-old than I was when she was one, right? Just because of the work that I've done, for my own personal development as a human and as a parent, so I'm a better listener. I ask her more questions than I tell her what to do. And your relationship is constantly changing, so it's very much like your health.
And you probably maybe were not like that had you not gone through your own chronic illness journey, right? Like, I just think
Sure.
that that's one of the biggest blessings of going through a journey like this, is that just the takeaways that we can take from it. Yes, we have to, be the FDA and the CDC of our own body, right? Which we shouldn't have to be, but truly it makes us get in touch with our body. It makes us learn along the way, because I think that we should all be involved in our healing journey. We should understand what we're taking, why we're taking it, the effects it's going to have on us. And again, I know that, there might be some listeners out there that their brains are not functioning properly. I get that.
Right.
So all we can do is do the best that we can do, and that is enough, right? Like,
That's
we've got
right.
to give ourselves grace. But so, Evan, how can, and of course, listeners, we'll put all the information in the description of this episode, but how can people reach out to you? Do you have a website? Do people call you? How can they start your program? Walk us through that.
So the best next step is to watch my latest masterclass. You can watch it on repeat. You can watch it on 2x speed if you want. It's normally 40 minutes. You can watch it at 20 minutes. This is just going to give you a better idea about my philosophy of care. And you can find that at fixyourfatigue.com. And after that, you'll be prompted to apply for a free call with me, where I'll do an assessment to determine whether or not we're a good fit to work together. About 30% of the time, I tell people that we're not a good fit for whatever reason. I may send them off to do a limbic system retraining or whatever. But if I feel like we're a good fit, I will let you know that on the call, and then you can hear about the program. I try to be as transparent as possible, give you everything up front, so that when we get on that call, we can really figure out whether or not we're a good fit to work together for the next 12 months. Making sure that people understand what the expectations are like, what they can expect from me, what I expect from them. If they're making sure that they're willing to work on their mental health, their emotional health, right? Making sure that their brain fog isn't so bad that they're going to not show up for calls, or that they're not going to be able to walk through a process. We try to give people everything that we possibly can to help them be successful, and there's people that we can't help for whatever reason. So I just try to, it doesn't make sense for anybody to join our program if I don't feel like I can help them. It doesn't serve them and doesn't serve us. And so I
No.
try to be really transparent with people.
I love that. And I think it's very important, it just goes along with there are some really great practitioners out there, but that doesn't mean that they're great for you, right? Like we truly have to resonate with one another, kind of interview each other, so to say, right? To find the perfect fit. Because if you are not working with somebody that is good for you for whatever reason, you're probably not going to get well. So I appreciate that you have this master class. So again, listeners, we'll put that information in the description of this episode so you can check it out, schedule a free call with Evan and kind of go from there. So, well, gosh, Evan, this has been packed full of so much great information. And thank you so much for taking an extra dive with me into the mindset and our nervous system and, just the simple ways that we can truly support our bodies at home, because a lot of people might just be getting a diagnosis or just going through the hamster wheel, right? And trying to determine what route they want to go, how they're going to come up with the finances, whatever it is. And they might feel like that they're just on hold, right? Like, I can't do anything. I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't have the money together. I don't. There are so many things you can do right now, right? Like, let's start working on the mindset and the nervous system. So I'd appreciate you breaking all that down for me. And I appreciate you joining me and just sharing all the stuff. Thank you so much.
Thanks so much for having me on.